Okay, Mishpatim, Tavshinayin Tes. So let's take a look very, very quickly here at Perek Chav Dalet, very end of Mishpatim. It goes back to Maamar Har Sinai, right? So let's take a look. It says, "Vel Moshe Amar Aleya El Hashem." We're just going to read very superficially. Moshe Amar Aleya El Hashem. To Moshe, he said, go up to Hashem. Atav Aaron, Nadav Avihu, v'shivim mizikne Israel. You and Aaron, Nadav Avihu, and the 70 elders. V'shtachavisa merachok, and you'll bow from a distance. V'nigash Moshe levado el Hashem, and Moshe alone should go el Hashem. V'hem lo yigashu, and they will not come close to Hashem. V'am lo yalu imo, and the people at large won't go up with him. Okay, that's not to be understood. All these people, just really superficially. But Yavu Moshe v'yisaper la'am eskol divrei Hashem eskol mishpatim, and Moshe recall told the people all the words of Hashem and all the mishpatim. Vayan kol am kol echad, and all the people said together vayomru, and they said kol advar mashadibur Hashem naase, everything Hashem says we will do. Vayichta Moshe eskol divrei Hashem, and Moshe wrote down all the words of Hashem, right? Vayashkem baboker, and he got up in the morning. Vayivim mizbech, he built a mizbech tachas ahar, right at the foot of the mountain. Vushtemitzre matseva, he built, made 12 what he called monuments. Vushtemitzre shivt Israel for representing the 12 tribes. Vayishlach es nari bnei Israel, and he sent the young men of bnei Israel. Rashi says towards bechorim. Vayalu olos, and they offered up olos. Vayizbuchu zvachim, and they were makriv zvachim. I guess over here that would be shlamim, zvachim, shlamim. Lashem parim, they sent v'rikol makriv shlamim to Hashem, oxen. Vayikach Moshe chatzi adam, he took half of the blood. Vayasam bagonos, he placed him in basins. Chatzi adam zarak al mizbeach, and half the dam he what do you call it, sprinkled on the mizbeach. Vayikach sefer abris, he took the sefer abris. What is the sefer abris? That it needs to be understood. What is this book of a covenant? Vayikro beozne ha'am, he read it to the people to hear. Vayom rekol shadibur Hashem naaseh v'nishma. Then the people said everything that Hashem said naaseh v'nishma, we will do and we will hear. We'll listen to. Adhere to. Listen to. Vayikach Moshe et ha'dam, he took the dam. Vayizrok al ha'am, he took whatever the dam that was in the basins, and is that which you had imported right on the mizbeach? Right, the other half of the dam, and he sprinkled it upon the people. Vayomer hinei dam habris, this is the blood of the covenant. Asher koratz Hashem imachem, that Hashem has really called, has made a bris with you. Al kol advar mi'el, upon all these things. Vayal Moshe v'aron nodav aviyu, and now Moshe aron nodav aviyu, v'shivim zikni Israel, they went up. Right, doesn't say how far they went. Vayiru es elo ke Yisrael, they saw. Hello, K Yisrael, Vasachas Raglov, and Kimase Livnas Asapir, and underneath his feet was like the workings of the whiteness of the sapir stone, right? Ukhaetim Hashemayim Tor, and like the heavens itself for what he called for clarity. Ve'el Atzili b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado, and to what he called the princes of the Jewish people, he did not, recall, extend his hand, he didn't do something, what he called, shalach yado, shlichas would mean some sort of punishment of something of one sort or another. And they saw what he called, kaviyochel nor shalom, vayochel v'yishtu, and they ate and they drank. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, and Hashem said to Moshe, alei elai ha'hara, come to you, Moshe says, come to me up to the mount. Vayesham, stay with me there. Right, and I'll give you luchos even the what do you call it, the tablets of stone, the Torah of mitzvah, whatever that's referring to. There's the difference. There's tablets of stone. There's Torah. There's mitzvah. Right, the Torah. What do you call it? The mitzvah. Shekasavti lorosen, that I have written in order to instruct them. Right, Gemara in Brachos talks about what each one of these phrases mean. Vayakam Moshe v'Yoshua v'Sharso, and Moshe got up along with Yoshua, right, his aid. Vayal Moshe al Har Elokim, and he went up to the mount of Hashem. V'Elazkenim Amar Shvulchem Bazeh, he told him, you stay here, Ad Asher Nashuv Aleichem, until I return, right, until I turn with you, right, until I return to you. V'nei Aaron v'Chur imachem, Aaron and Chur, they'll be with you if you can need some advice. Right, mi baldavar mi gashalim. Whoever has got some sort of issue should go to Aaron and Chur. Vayal Moshe alahar, vayechas yanones alar. Moshe went up to the mount, and the cloud covered over the mount. Vayishkol and kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, and the glory of Hashem rested upon Har Sinai. Vayechaseyu anan sheshes yomim, and the cloud covered Har Sinai for 6 days. Vayikra el Moshe vayom hashvi, and on the seventh day, Right? Hashem called out to Moshe, Mitoch Hanan, from within the cloud. Umari called Hashem Ke'esh Ocheles Rosh Ahar, and the appearance, right? What do you call it? Of the glory of Hashem was upon the mountain, like, what do you call it? Like a consuming fire. Rosh Ahar, at the top of the mountain, Le'eni B'nei Yisrael, to all the Jewish people to see. But Moshe Mitoch Hanan, and Moshe entered into the cloud. Vayal El Hahar, he rose up upon the mount. Vahi Moshe Bahar, Arbaim Yom Bavayla, and Moshe was there for 40 years and 40 nights. Fine. Okay. Now, over here, there's just something very, very cool. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things, but like what it says over here, it says Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael, Pasuk Yud. They saw Kavyochol, the God of Israel, Vasachas Raglov, Kimas Elivna Sasapir, and underneath his feet was like the workings, etc., of the whiteness of the sapper stone, Chesam Shamayim Latoar, right? Veletzili B'nei Yisrael Lo Shalach Yado VaYechazu Eslakim VaYechlu VaYishtu, and to the princes of the Jewish people, he did not do any harm, right? VaYechazu Eslakim VaYechlu VaYishtu, and they saw Kaviyachol, some incredible vision. They ate and they drank. So now Rashi says, right? Rashi says, Rashi says. Velatzile b'nei Yisrael. Who are the Atzile b'nei Yisrael? They saw what he called Nadav Avihu and the Skenim. Nadav Avihu, the two sons of Aaron, the elder sons of Aaron, and the Skenim. Lo shalach yado, right? He didn't do any harm to them. Michlal shayuruim liyshtaleach b'hem yad. We see that they were worthy of having something violent happen to them. Vayechzu es lakim. They saw what he called Kav Yochol.
The future
they were seeing? No, Vayechazu here, it means they, at that, the Vav turns it into what you call the past. Right? They saw then at that time.
They saw that they were dying?
No. Vayechazu es Elokim, they saw what you call a vision of Hashem. How you mistaklim bo belev gas. They were looking at this vision, Kav Yochol, of the Ribbono Shel Olam with a very familiar heart. A little too familiar. Right? Mitoch achila ushtia. Right, out of eating and drinking. Kach medrash tanchuma, that's the medrash tanchuma. Etc. Okay, Unkel doesn't explain like that. Etc. And Rikol Rashi says that eventually what happened, they didn't get punished then, they got punished later. Nadav Avihu got killed in Parshas Shmini, in Vayikra. Right? And the Skenim were killed in Parshas Baloscha, in the story of what he called of the Misonanim. Right? It was before the spies, but in the case of Misonanim, when they were kvetching. Right, so the, what do you call this? Skenim were killed then. That's the way we call. That's the way Rashi understands it. Right, there's, they did something inappropriate. They're worthy to die. They didn't die then. They died later. Ramban.
Wait, I'm not so sure. What did they do here in this parsha?
They saw a vision of God.
Ah, they looked at they looked at Hashem.
Right,
they saw his Shekhinah.
Right, there you go.
Without turning away.
Right, and they recorded, and they ate and they drank and they were worthy of moving. Okay?
That's what you mean.
Right. Right. So now. But now look at the Ramban. Look at the Ramban. Okay, look at the Ramban. Velatzile b'nei Yisrael, right? It says that's in Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's on page 3 also, if you need to think over here. The Ramban says, right, Ramban says, "Latzile b'nei Yisrael, heim nadav avihu v'askenim." These are nadav avihu askenim and iskarim v'karim ki netzal aleim ruach elokim. Right, and they experienced this. Right, they experienced this because what do you call the spirit of Hashem was upon them. V'chein ma'atzilus me'atzilea asicha. Right, hanetzalim shenetzal aleim mirucho. In other words, the spirit of Hashem was upon them. Or gdolim shenetzal aleim kvod me'amalchus. Fine. Right? Since it says by what he called by the Kohanim, right, and the people that they shouldn't go up to Hashem, lest something bad happen to them because they went beyond where they were supposed to go. Hodia b'kan,
not to go higher.
The what he called the it says the Kohanim and the Am. Right? And why is it saying Lo Shalach Vayim Lo Shalach Vayim Yadam? Right? Lo Shalach Yado. Why does it say that Hashem didn't punish them? Right? So Rashi says that they were worthy of punishment because they gazed in too familiar fashion, right, upon this vision of the Shekhinah that they had, and they were worthy of being killed. But Hashem didn't want to disturb Matan Torah, and therefore he brought about their demise later on, but not now.
Didn't everybody see the screen at the time in Matan Torah?
Not pretty cool, not the same thing. Yeah, not everybody had the same experience. Not everybody had the same experience. I mean, they, what do you call it? They had the experience of what do you call it? Of seeing ordinarily what, like we know, Roy Mesanira Veshomim Mesanira. What do you call it? Roy Mesanishma Veshomim Mesanira. They did have the experience of the things they usually see, they heard, the things they already heard, they saw. But that's not, it's not all the same thing. It's not all the same thing.
These were the Zakanim.
You know, this is what he called, yeah, this is what he called Nadva view and the Skanim. And the Skanim. So Rashi says they gazed upon something that you shouldn't have gazed upon, and they're worthy of being killed, right? They're worthy of being killed, but Hashem didn't kill them now, so as not to disturb what he called the celebration of Matan Torah. And none of you instead died in Parsha Shmini, and what he called in this game died later on in Parsha Baloscha. That's what Rashi understands it. The Ramban understands it. The wise say Lo Shalach Yado, that Hashem didn't do any harm because they didn't do anything wrong. In other words, it said before that they were different mechitzos, right? They were different, what do you call it, the people and the kohanim could only go up to one level, right? And you might have thought that maybe they had gone to a place they shouldn't have gone. Says the Ramban, the Pshat, and the Pasuk is no, to tell you that they didn't go someplace they weren't supposed to go. They didn't do something wrong. They didn't do something
Rashi
wrong. Rashi said they did do something wrong. And that's why they were worthy of dying, right? And just Hashem delayed their punishment, right, for what he called to later on. But according to Ramban, they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. Not only that, did they not do anything wrong, right? But like Rashi says, that when they brought they had this vision, right, they had this vision, v'yochlo v'yishtu, that's indicative of the fact that they were being too familiar, right, being too familiar in this prophetic experience they were having, and therefore that's why they were worthy of punishment. But Ramban,
too familiar.
In other words, you know what he calls it? It's like, yeah, I like learning Torah. Pass me a cherry bonbon. What does Rava say? That's a good candy. What does a Baye say? Right, they're being too familiar, right?
Who said that? Rashi.
Rashi. I mean, it was after the histrionics. Yeah, regard the Ramban says though, they didn't do anything wrong, and they're eating and drinking. What does he say? Right, the time vayochlu v'yishdu sha'ochlu sham hashlamim betachti sahar. They ate the shlamim, right? Because it says they brought olos and they brought shlamim. They ate the shlamim betachti sahar at the foot of the mountain lefnei Elokim terem sheyashuvu el aleihem before they returned to their homes. Ki hashlamim tunim mechitza, etc. They ate it there, right? Not the machane. Batam v'yishtu sha'osu simcha v'yantif. They made a simcha v'yantif, right? Call it out of the experience. They made a simcha yontif. Ki chein chovol is smach, because that's incumbent upon a person to be sameach bekabalas the Torah and the receipt of the Torah. Kasher tziva because from kol divrei Torah lavonim v'zavach to shlomi. It brings a raya from later on sefer dvarim, etc. So we have got two opposite poles here, right? Two opposite. According to Rashi, they did something terribly wrong. They deserved to die, but they didn't get punished now. Instead, they got punished later. According to Ramban, we call they did the right thing, right? And now there was a chov upon them, right, to eat and to drink and to make a simcha out of the experience that they had. So ordinarily we don't like having machloksim of this nature, right? What do you call with two opposite poles? I say it's a mitzvah, you say it's an avera, right? That's a bit much. That's a bit much. So
obviously they died.
Again, what do you call Rashi's, the Ramban's learning, it has nothing to do with this. They died because of what they died, whatever. They died because of other reasons. They're not because of this. According to Ramban, they did the right thing. They did a mitzvah. According to Rashi, they did an avera, and they died, just they didn't die now, they died later. According to Ramban, they did a mitzvah. They were doing exactly the right thing. So it's very, you know, it's very, yeah, that's what you call it. We don't really have differences like that. You know, I say it's a mitzvah from the Torah, and you tell me it's a vera from the Torah. What's the mitzvah? Make up our mind. So let's take a look.
So what were they doing up in the mountain again?
Again, this is part of the process of Kabbalah Satorah.
How far did they go?
They didn't go as far. Obviously, Moshe did, right? They didn't go as far as Moshe did.
So what was their opportunity to see the screen that they didn't go as far?
Seder day, because everybody from wherever vantage point, like you said, everybody saw something, right? But the question is, the higher, the bigger you were, the more you saw. So now, what they saw was appropriate, inappropriate, right? Yeah, the reaction was appropriate, inappropriate. Rashi says what they saw more than they should have, right? They went to look for more than they should have, and we recall the reaction was inappropriate. And the Ramban says whatever they saw was what they were meant to see, and the reaction was excellent. It was laudatory, right? Let's take a look. So here in the first pasuk here, it says Vel Moshe Amar Alei El Hashem. This is the first pasuk in Perek Chavdal. Vel Moshe Amar Alei El Hashem. Atov Aaron Nadav Aviu V'Shiv Mizikne Israel V'Shtachavise Merachok. Okay. So Rashi says Vel Moshe Amar Alei El Hashem. Parshazu Nemra Kodem Aseres Adibros. Bedalad Siva Namrolo Ale. Rashi says this entire, well, I shouldn't say the entire parak, right?
Who are you reading now?
Rashi. That's why I said Rashi. Yeah? We call Rashi says.
Rashi? Yeah. I want to hear another
page. Rashi says, right? Vel Moshe Amar Ale, Rashi says that this took place, these took him over here, up until Pasuk Yud Beis. Up until Pasuk Yud Beis, we'll see, is all really from before Matan Torah. And as this is really called this, even though it's here at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, right?
Yeah.
But it really, what he called, belongs, right, in Parshas Yisro, before they received the Torah.
This took place before Matan
Before Matan Torah, on the fourth day of Sivan.
Why?
Why? That's what do you mean, why?
You just told me that they went up with Moshe Rabbeinu and they stopped Moshe Rabbeinu further. This was the day of Har Sinai. Now, how can you tell me that it's happened?
It's describing, I said, what do you call this? This pasuk, right? This statement of, what do you call it, of Vayomer Moshe, Vayel Moshe Amar, Alei El Hashem, go up to Hashem, Atav, Aron, Nanadav, Aviv, Vashivim, Zikni, Yisrael, Vishtachavisa, Merachok. This statement was said, says Rashi, on Dalet Sivan, before Matan Torah.
Given the Sivui when Matan Torah was occurring.
But this is before. Matan Torah is what he called take place above Sivan, what he called Zayin Sivan,
no,
whatever.
That was not my question. They were given the Sivui to go up on Matan Torah with Moshe Rabbeinu and on time of Har Sinai.
No, this, they were told again, before Matan Torah. Right, Vel Moshe Amar Alei El Hashem, go up to Hashem. Ata Varon Nada Vaviu V'Shivim Minig Yisrael V'Shtachavisim Rochok. This act of going up towards Hashem, right, and then bowing from a distance. This was said on the fourth day of Sivan. Matan Torah wasn't until two days later. Okay.
Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't up. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go. They just went up themselves.
The pasuk. Can we just stick with what the pasuk says? It's a command. Vel Moshe Amar Alei, you go up. El Hashem Atah, you. Va'aron Nada Vaviu.
Shouldn't it be them?
Oh, that's a good question. That's an excellent question.
It is
an excellent question, right? Because what it should say is what you call it, Vel Moshe Amar Alei El Hashem, which should be Alu. It should be Alu, like you said. It should be the plural. He's talking to Moshe and Aaron and Nadav Aviu and the Sivan Skadim. So it should be Alu, not Alei,
mm-hmm.
Right? So that's a good, excellent question. Okay, we'll see. But anyway, that's what it says. It's really quoted. This is before. This is on the fourth day of Sivan. The fourth day of Sivan. They're going to go to some place and be Meshtachav Mirochok. They're going to bow from a distance.
When the Sivan.
I didn't say anything about Shechina. It just says, what do you call it? It just said they will bow from a distance. That's all it said. We don't know anything more than that. Right? The fact that it says, record, it says.
Distance of Matan Torah?
Vishtachavisa mirachok. No, it just says a distance. It doesn't say what the distance is from. Right? It doesn't say what the distance is from. Again, we'll see that this concept of the distance is not necessarily recorded. You know, how is it a length of a football field or whatever it is? The distance is recorded is a conceptual is a spiritual distance, right? I mean, it's also going to be a distance in space, but it's not like, you know, okay, fine, you know. Vayavo Moshe, vayisaper la'am, es kol divrei Hashem, es kol mishpatim, and Moshe came, and he told all the words of Hashem, and all the mishpatim, right? Again, according to Rashi, what mishpatim? This is talking about before Matan Torah. It's not the mishpatim in Parshas Mishpatim. Right? Vayan kol am kol echad, and they said, Naaseh. And then Vayicht of Moshe.
It's still 4 days before Sivan.
Right, this is on the fourth day of Sivan. Right, 2 days at least before Birkot Matan Torah. Vayicht of Moshe is called Divrei Hashem. And Moshe wrote down all the words of Hashem. Which words? Vayash came, right, in the morning he got up and he built him his Beach, right? And he built the 12 Matzevas. And then they brought, what do you call it, the Nari Bnei Israel brought their Olos. And there's Zvachim, record to Hashem. So says Rashi. Vayavo Moshe v'yasaper la'am, bo bayom, on the fourth day of Sivan. Es kol divrei Hashem. What are kol divrei Hashem? What they hear so far? Es mitzvahs prisha of hakbola. That what he called, you know what he told them? That they separate themselves from their wives. And that they would call it, that each a person could has a limit to how far he can go up towards the mountain. Those are divrei Hashem, not all the Torah. Right, and if you understood these psukim in the order that they appear in the Chumash, so this is going on what do you call it, on tons of stuff. It's talking about all the stuff that took place in Parshas Yisro and in Parshas Mishpatim. We're at the end of Parshas Mishpatim here, right? Rashi says, this takes place before what do you call it, before they got the Eretz Aseret Dibros. This is the beginning of Parshas Yisro. This is the fourth day of Sivan. That's called Mishpatim. So we said, what Mishpatim? According to Rashi, this is happening before they got Mishpatim. Rashi says, what are the Mishpatim referred to here? Zayin mitzvah, Shinstavu B'nei Noach, the seven mitzvahs of B'nei Noach, Shabbos, and Kibbut Ava'im, and Parah Aduma, right? Bedinim, Shenitin Lehem B'mara. In other words, whatever they received in Mara, in Parshas B'shalach, right? Remember they received a select amount of mitzvahs of there. Shabbos, and Kibbut Ava'im, and Parah Aduma, right? A selection of mitzvahs. Then they received that then. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu, says to them.
This was all 4 days before Sivan.
Not 4 days, on the fourth day of Sivan. Fourth day of Sivan.
Moshe was to tell them Mishpatim. What were the Mishpatim?
The Mishpatim, he says, is on Mitzvah B'nei Noach, and whatever they heard at Mara, in Parshas B'Shalach. Vayicht of Moshe, right? So Moshe wrote it down as Divrei Hashem. What did he write down? Mibreishis v'admatan Torah, the cause of mitzvah shenitztavu b'mara. So what Moshe wrote down, which we later on will see, that'd be the Sefer Habris, the Book of the Covenant, right? What he wrote down was everything from the beginning of Breishis Bara up until Matan Torah, and including the mitzvahs they received in Parshas B'Shalach and Mara again. Okay. And then he sent, right, the Nari B'nai Yisrael, which Rashi says were the B'choros, and the Ramala Olos, the Makrev or Korbanos Ola, right, and Zvachim, Shlamim, says what he called the Imre Emes. Right, Vayishlach is Nari B'nai Yisrael, Vayalu Olos, right? In other words, what do you call it? There's a din, right? We learn chagiga, right? You bring an olos ria. An ola is b'derech a korban that's brought to either compensate for an indiscretion in thought, right? Or to raise a person on his thought level, etc. The olos ria was brought when a Jew was coming to what he called to the Beis Hamikdash to be kind of the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel. Ria's punim in the mikdash. He's going into entering into a new world, into the world of the Beis Hamikdash. The world of the Beis Hamikdash, like we talked about before, is a place where you get a different seichel, right? So they brought, as they entered into the mikdash, they brought an olos ria. In other words, that this korban, as it were, should escort them in their rise in the way of thinking, or compensate perhaps mistakes in their thinking from before, right? But helps them rise upward, what he called, to a new way of looking at things, a new way of understanding things, a new way of comprehending things as they enter into the Mikdash. Says what he called the Imre Emes. The Gemara says that the what he called that the Olos that the Jews were bringing out, that Moshe Rabbeinu sent these what he called the youth, right, to bring now the Nari Bnei Yisrael, the Bechoros, was an Olos Riyah because they were coming towards Maamar Har Sinai. You got to prepare yourself. This is not the sort of thing you walk in, you know, with your pants, your hands in your pants, you're shuffling along here off to Buffalo. Where you say, hey, I was here, you know, I'm nobody called. Let's get those Ten Commandments. What do you say? Where is Charlton Heston? Right? You know, right? This is, you got to prepare yourself. You're rising up to a new plane of understanding. She creeps with me on the Vriya. Ksiv El Moshe Amar Alei El Hashem. V'ishtachavise merachok, v'ishe shezeh ki'inyin shekosu merachok Hashem nira li. Ha'idei zeh nasa hachona lekabolas ha-Torah. He brings a pasuk in Yirmiyah, right?
True.
Right, the Imri Emes. He says, he says, you shall bow merachok from a distance, right? Isa shezeh ki'inyin shekosu merachok Hashem nira li. Ha'idei zeh nasa hachona lekabolas ha-Torah. To realize, right, that I see Hashem from a distance, right? Don't feel buddy-buddy, right? This is not the record. It's not, you don't start off, you don't enter into a relationship with Hashem like, oh, we're buds, right? Merachok Hashem nirali, right? This is the distance. I got a long way to travel here. I got a long way to travel. And you can't be casual about it. This is a big thing. This is awesome. So the idea of mishtachavisa merachok, right? Because you don't plunge in and say, you know, like, okay, fine, let's go get the Ten Commandments, you know, right? How many are there? How much do they cost? I'll take two, right? I'll take two tablets, yeah, etc. You have to prepare. You have to prepare. Fine. Then, okay, so we got the scenario, according to Rashi, right? Well, he's building up what he called, he's spoken to them about what they received until now, from everything, from the beginning of Bereishis up until Matan Torah, but not including Matan Torah, because this is before Matan Torah, and the mitzvahs from Mora, and they're bringing Olos, and the Imre Emes says they're bringing Olos Riyah, just like when you come to do Alil or Regel. In other words, when you're entering into a new plane, you have to prepare your machshava. You have to prepare your machshava before you enter into this experience over here. And you mishtachav mirochok, because mirochok Hashem nirali, right? Really called, you have to start off, really called, realizing, really called, that you've got a long way to go to come close, right? Right? You really called, this is not a simple thing. You're going to have to have the Shemaya, right? It's not like it's impossible. It is quite possible. It's what Hashem wants. But you've got to start off realizing, this is not, you know, okay, no problem. Yeah, it'll be me and the Lord who, God forbid, excuse me for blasphemy. Vayal Moshe v'Aaron nodav avil v'shivim zikni Yisrael. And they went off. Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael v'sachas raglov kemase livnas hasapir che'etzem hashamayim latohar. V'latzili b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado v'yachazu es Elokim v'yachlu v'yishtu. Right? So we saw before. So what does Rashi say? Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael nistaklu, they looked, they tzitzu, and they peered out. Right? They gazed upon. Right?
This is
still before Matan Torah, right? V'nischaivu misa, and they were worthy of being punished with death.
This was Rashi.
Right, this is Rashi's approach. El shelo rotza kodesh brochu la'arbev simchas ha-Torah. Hashem didn't want to disturb, right, the simchas ha-Torah, Kabbalah ha-Torah. Right, v'himtin l'nodav aviyu ad yom chanukas ha-Mishkan. He waited for the death of Nadav Avihu, put them to death, everybody called at the inauguration of the Mishkan. And the Skenim were punished, like it says, yeah, everybody called in Parshas Baloscha, and the Am people were complaining, and then the fire came down and it burned the Ketzei HaMachaneh, and Rashi's going with the Pshat over here, that the Ketzei HaMachaneh were those were the Ketzinim, everybody called the officers, right? So that's when the Skenim died. They saw, what did they see? They saw Tachas Raglav beneath his feet. They saw Kaviyochol, a vision of the Shechina. The Tachas Raglav beneath his feet. Kemase Livna Sasapir, says Rashi. Kemase Livna Sasapir. He haisa lefanav b'shas hashibud. Right? Lizkor tzorosam shel Yisrael. In other words, in this Livna Sasapir, like what do you call it? Bricks made out of sapper stone. Right.
This is what they saw?
The bricks. Why the bricks? to recall, because is to see that they saw that which was before Hashem when the Jewish people are suffering. In other words, called, in other words, Kaviyachol, right? The throne of God, right? The throne of God, right, is what he called, is what he called, has what he called, has this. They saw what he called the sapphire stone, right?
I saw the vision of the sapphire stone.
What he called the sapphire stone. The sapphire stone is the record.
That was
is,
Moshe brought down over from Har Sinai.
That's not Perignon. Yeah, what he called is related. Could be that it's related, but anyway.
So they saw the vision of what was going to happen in 2 days.
No. That's not what they're saying. What he called, please be medayek. What he called, he's not talking about seeing the Ten Commandments. They saw underneath the throne of God, right? They saw underneath the throne of God that there was what he called bricks made out of sapphire stone, right? In other words, what he called the sapphire stone, right, is indicative of the strength and the purity and the beauty of what he called of God's God's hashgacha, of God's providence, right? Just like that stone is beautiful, it's clear, etc. It's very strong, right? Whatever type of stone it is, etc. Whether it's a sapphire, whether it's a diamond, whatever it is, yeah. But they saw it in the form of bricks. Why? Right. Because that shows that's what was before Hashem. Hashem, that's what Hashem was gazing upon Kaviyachol all the time that they were in servitude in Egypt, making those bricks. Right. So he saw what he called. He saw the bricks. The sapphire stone was made out of bricks. He heishel afar meshas hashibud. Leads court to Rosh Hashanah Israel to see what he called to see the what he called the suffering of the Jewish people. Shayim Shubadim B'mas Elavim, because they were what he called. So in other words, Hashem's throne, as it were, right underneath his feet, were workings of sapphire stone, but made in the form of bricks to show that he was with the Jewish people in their suffering. At the same time, they saw also Che'etzem Hashamayim LaTohar. They saw. Also, at the same time, they saw what he called that it was like the essence of the heaven for all of its clarity. So they saw a vision, ki'ilu, of the way it was in the past.
Of the heavens?
There is the clarity of the heavens, with the heavens, you know, where it's clear and beautiful and recorded, and everything is just sort of recorded. Look at the grandeur and the beauty and of the what do you call it, the splendor of the sky, right?
Yeah, everything. So what exactly was the Shekhinah?
So what they saw with this vision of the Shekhinah, they saw two things, right? At the same time, in heaven, beneath Hashem's feet, right? Which means that what he called that the heavens are where his throne are, and his feet are here on ground. And then we call him the ground, Kaviyachol. Here is where his Hashgacha walks. Right? Here is where his Hashgacha conducts itself. Here is where his Hashgacha, where his providence makes itself evident on the earth. The footstool, right? Shamayim, Shamayim, Kisi, Va'aretz, Hadom, Raglai. The heavens are the place of Hashem's throne, but the place where his feet, where his Hashgacha, where his conduct of the world is apparent is here down in the world. V'sachas, Raglav, and beneath his feet, they saw two visions simultaneously, right? Coexisting. One, the what he called the vision of the sapphire stone made out of bricks, which is what he called shows the Kaviyachol the pain that Hashem is with us in all of our pain when they were suffering in Mitzrayim.
What was the other one?
And the other one is the clarity when what he called of everything would be beautiful like the Etz HaShamayim Tohar with the clarity, the beauty, the clarity that only you could only see in the heavens, right? And it all coexists at the same time, and they're looking at something that was there in the past. As far as they were concerned, because they'd already left Egypt. So seeing the past and the present all at the same time. They saw this beneath the feet of Hashem. So this is a vision of seeing past together with present. In terms of Hashem, this is a very lofty vision.
Past and present.
Because what do you call right now everything is glorious, it's Etzem HaShamayim LaTohar. But when they were in Egypt, with like Livnas HaSapir. But they see they're underneath the feet of Hashem, right? That Livnas HaSapir is there together with what he called the glory and the clarity of the heavens. And it's by Hashem, it's all together, it's all one. It's all one. So they saw this, that's an amazing thing to see. Right? For us, we go, as we travel through time, right? There are good times, there are bad times, right? There are times where, hey, what's the story? Where are you, Hashem? And they're really cool. And there are times, really cool. There are times where we go, oh, thank you, I understand so well, right? And it's all there, they saw it all at once. This is a very big thing to see. Okay? And, right?
And what else is left?
And the Imre Emes, and the Imre Emes says, right? And the Imre Emes says, the Ode, right? The Rashi, right? The Imre Emes, that's what he calls son of the Sfas Emes. The Ode, he's the one whose grave is opposite Machane Yehuda, right? The side street there, right? It's Kevin, she called grave. The Ode, the Rashi, Vayichtov Moshe.
Imre Emes now is commenting on Rashi.
Right, he's talking what he called about Rashi. Vayichtov Rashi. Vayichtov Moshe is called Divrei Hashem. Ibreishis Vad Matan Torah. When he says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down, right, everything from Breishis to Matan Torah. Well, what's the point of that? Because Masha Avraham Ben Israel, he was showing them, right? The Sefer Bris was showing them. Shekol Masha Avraham Ben Israel Nase Torah. That everything that they experienced, all the suffering they went through, the ups and downs, right? From that was generated the Torah.
From that, but the Torah was already written.
I understand, but the Torah came to them. Right? Well, how did they merit the Torah? How did they merit the Torah?
From their suffering.
Right. So, but it's not just what he called, look what he writes here. He brings this a medrash. The Mitzrayim Avdu Yisrael, Bechomer Ubelevanim. In Mitzrayim, they served Hashem in mortar and in bricks. The Isa B'Zohar HaKadosh, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, V'chomer, V'kal V'chomer. Right? L'vanim, B'libun Hilchasa. So you read that, and when you read that Zohar, it's not the first time I've seen that. Yeah? You think about, okay, that sounds sort of cutesy, you know. Chomer, Kalva Chomer, Vilvanian, Belibun Hilchas, I'm getting the halacha straight. He's saying, no. What they saw was that all the pain they went through were the filters, right? Or even the filters, through those experiences, made them a kli kibul, made them a vessel to be able to receive the Torah. And that's why he wrote it down for them. That's why he wrote it down for them. He says, you know that, in other words, the whole experience of prior to Matan Torah was to teach them, realize that everything you went through until now, right, all the horrors and all the difficulties, was to bring you to be able to be a proper vessel for Torah. It's not just like, oh, the good old days, you know, bad riddance to good riddance to bad rubbish. It's over with. Fine, let's not think about it anymore, right? I don't mean you have to sit and think about it all the time, but I can't think about it. I can't record it. There's no purpose to it. But now, Baruch Hashem, things are good. Things used to stink, and now things are good, right? But to realize that everything that was so difficult before was what it made it possible to experience the glory of today. Now, we don't always have the ability to comprehend that, but at that time, that experience, that vision they had, that glorious vision, this is not a simple thing, to be able to see that, to experience it, not just to know it in your head, but to see it. Right? And, in addition, he says, look what he says over here at the end of the paragraph here from the MMS. He says, the half of the blood that Moshe Rabbeinu sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and half he sprinkled on them. He says, Vayizrok al ha'am, the Zorak al Madbecha, the Kapora, he sprinkled half on the Mizbeach to atone and half upon them. Right? Hainu, that is to say, says the Imre Emes, Shenasu ba'atzma Mizbeach Kapora, that the experiences of their life itself was a Mizbeach of atonement. Right? And as you realize it, just like when you bring a Korban, right? You would call it the experience of bringing the Korban brings you closer to Hashem. the blood that sprinkled on them, saying, your suffering, your anguish, your, what do you call it, your difficulties, etc., that itself is a kapara that cleansed you, that enabled you to come closer to Hashem. That through Yisurim Me'ava, right, Yisurim, that a person accepts Me'ava, even if they're not brought on him because of Ava, but they're brought on him as an owner. But if he accepts them properly, they turn into Yisurim Shal Ava. That's the Or Chaim teaches us. By Yisurim Shal Ovrin Hayom Al Bnei Yisrael, it says the Imri Emes, and the pain that the Jewish people is experiencing now, in our days, yeah? Hema Chatzi Ha'acher Shal Adam Al Zeh Ne'emar Uke Etzem HaShamayim Shalom. Okay, right? Right, and we call it like the Etzem Hashemayim LaTohar. Okay, fine. We call it like the essence of the heavens in all their clarity. Right, in the heavens, everything is clear. Right, everything is clear. Problem is as it comes down to over here. This is what Tziv talks about also. Where he called these two. As it comes down to over here, it like gets a little unclear to us. But they had a vision how all of what he called what was unclear until now was perfectly clear to them.
Your attention or what God's attention was.
Right. No, Hashem's, what do you call it? Hashem, we know in heaven, everything is pure. Problem is, as it wends its way down to us over here, right, it doesn't become, it's not so clear to us, how is this, what's this all about? So if you're standing at Har Sinai, right, oh, it's great, we're receiving the Torah. But what about everything in the interim? So they had a vision that showed that everything in the interim was what made today's event possible. That's an incredible vision. That's an insight to Hashem's, what do you call it? Hashem's hashgacha. Hashem's oneness. Yeah. So now, the Da, right, says the Sifsei Kohen, right, from Tzfas. She'amra Moshe alei el Hashem atav Aaron. Right?
That was
right, before it said the Imri Emes. Now we go to the Sifsei Kohen. When Hashem told Moshe, "Alei el Hashem, you go up to Hashem, atav Aaron, hakavana kol echad lefi madrigaso." Leze amar lo alu. That was your question. She said alu. It should have said, "Should go up," in plural, not alei in singular. This is to teach them that kol echad lefi madrigaso v'hasagaso. Every person according to his level and according to his comprehension. Right, his comprehension. That's why he said to the singular Moshe, you're the one who's only really going to be all the way up. Everybody else is every individual. In other words, he didn't want to say alu like hilo. Okay, we're all going together. You know, off we go to the wizard. Right, everybody holding hands. We just skip up the yellow brick road. Every person is going to go according to their madriga. That's why he's written in the singular. El alei kol echad lefi hasagotso. Right. Fisha Amalo Kodem Atan Torah, right? Etc. You go down. And you'll bow from a distance.
Right.
Ramaz Lahem Shmiyad Shiyiru Hasar. Right? They're going to see what he called Hashem's, he's called Matat. Right? Hashem's ultimate Shliach here on earth. They shouldn't, what he called, they shouldn't, as it were, look and gaze upon it. Recall, gaze upon that vision of seeing Hashem's.
According to the Sifsei Kohen.
Right, this is right. The ultimate shliach. El miyad yiplu ba'aretz. Immediately should prostrate themselves on the floor. Yirachaku mimeno hachakira, and they shouldn't try to delve into what they call how exactly all this works all the time. In other words, where Hashem's ratzon and the way it comes down to. You know, there's always meant to be what you call a certain degree of obfuscation, of things being unclear. Because otherwise there's no amuna. It's all clear. And as you left the world, they said, don't peer out on it. In other words, you'll bow from a distance. Right? Merachok, rachok, merchak. It's the same thing, the same letters as mechkar. Right? Investigating. In other words, be mirachok. Don't investigate too deeply into this, because it's not for you to wait for to investigate into. Right? Right? This is what it says, Hashem, you have to see Hashem from a distance. You can't try and understand everything. There's what he wants you to understand, so we're supposed to learn about. But we always have to know there always has to be a distance. We're never going to understand to the nth degree as long as we're alive. Right? Fine. Not only that, but the Panim Yafos says, I'm just going to synopsize this. Panim Yafos says that this idea of each person going up into his madrega, he says the pasuk says ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion, ayin ba'ayin, an eye in an eye. What does that mean? In other words, each person has his madrega, right? And the person beneath him understands from the person just above him. In other words, you've got a student, and then you've got a teacher, and then you've got a higher teacher, and a higher teacher, and a higher teacher, and a higher teacher, and a higher teacher. Everybody's got their madrega. And each one understands, right, from the one who's just above him. And that's the only way you can understand properly. You can't understand from somebody who's talking, what do you call, we're going to sit here, we're going to learn, you know, like somebody's going to give us a shir, what do you call it, in the Zohar, what do you call it, you know, deep things, and we don't understand what's going on. So we learn on our madrega, each one of us, rising up a little bit, rising up, and that's why they had to be in separate mechitzos. And Moshe Rabbeinu is ultimately, because he's the honor of Mikolam, he's the most humble of all people, he's going to go all the way up, right? But everybody else has got to stay where they are. So now we understand, right? Now we understand that they were meant to be at a distance. But only Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. They weren't supposed to look.
Bow down.
Right? Bow down. Humble yourself before it, right? Before this vision. Don't start investigating it. But that's not what they did. They investigated, not like that, but they felt so comfortable with it. They ate, they drank, etc.
Right.
Moshe Rabbeinu, on contrast, what does it say later on? This is already, these took him, right? This pasuk over here, pasuk Yudbeis, is already after Matan Torah. That's what's interesting in Rashi. The first two took him before Matan Torah, and now we're talking about here after Matan Torah, pasuk Yudbeis. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is a say, recall, this is Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, after Matan Torah. Alei Elai Hahara, come to me, right? In the mountain. In other words, the entire process of before Matan Torah was to cause them to realize, like we saw from the Imri Emes and from everybody there, that everything that happened to them until now was necessary to bring them to this day. But that they shouldn't, as it were, try and delve in and try and understand everything because they don't have the capacity to understand. They have to be able to grasp it from a distance, merachok, right? You can't be able to put everybody called dot every I and cross every T over here, right? You're not on the madrega.
I'm giving you, she's going with after Matan Torah.
Okay, we're talking about
the bow at a difference because we shouldn't be grasping too much all at once.
But all at once, and also what he called, we don't have the, again, he was only to show them broadly that everything that they had experienced until this time is what was necessary for them to experience Matan Torah. Which is just about to happen, right? And that's why it has to be Merachok. Now, after Moshe Rabbeinu has brought down the ten, spoken out the Ten Commandments to them, right? They heard Matan Torah. Now, after Matan Torah, Pasuk Yudbeis, Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the most humble of all people that we know, right? He's Adam Mikol Ish. He's the most humble of all people. What happens to him? Hashem tells him, "Vayomer Moshe, Alei Elai Hara. Now come to me." Moshe Rabbeinu. Come to Moshe Rabbeinu alone. Alei Elai Ahara. You come to me to the mount. And I will now give you the Ten Commandments, the two tablets, to bring down to the people. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He says, Vayal Moshe El Ahar, Vayechase Anon Es Ahar. He enters into the cloud and he's purified. Moshe Rabbeinu, the most humble of all people. He's the only one who can really go. And even he, in order to receive the Torah, he's purified, right? On the seventh day, Hashem calls out to him, for him to go up, right, etc.
The seventh day before Matan Torah.
Right, this is the seventh day after Matan Torah, as he's going to go up now for the 40 days to receive the whole, what do you call it? There's that Matan Torah, they heard the Ten Commandments. He's going to go up now and receive the Ten Commandments and the Torah and bring it down to them. He's going to be there for 40 days, right? But in order before him to be able to rise up, to be able to enter into that world, right?
Right.
So he has to, what he called, he has to go through, right, the 6 days of purification.
What did he do with the 6 days of purification? He stayed at the foothold.
He was in the cloud. In the cloud. He was purified. It's like being like in a spiritual mikvah, as it were. Right? Purifying. Right? In all his humility. And he enters into the world of hiddenness. Right? The cloud. Hidden. He's not going to look where he shouldn't look. Right? They are going to go where they shouldn't look. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, he's just in the cloud, being purified, because he's so humble. He's always putting himself at a distance, the person who puts himself always at a distance, Hashem calls to him, he says, now come in. Right? So now, just very briefly, right, we're going to read the whole thing, right, but just very, very briefly, to understand what took place over here. We start off with a question. Ramban learned, right, that everything that took place in here, they did the right thing, and what he called, they were rejoicing, and what he called,
that's
Ramban, and Rashi is telling us that these Atzilut ben Yisrael did the wrong thing, they deserve to die, etc.
You haven't addressed that yet.
Right, so now we're going to address just very briefly.
Ramban.
The Ramban learns that everything that we read over here took place after Matan Torah. He learns the Psukim Kipshutam. It's all after Parshas Mishpatim, right? He said, according to Rashi, some of it was before Parshas, before in the beginning of Parshas is really belonging to the beginning of Parshas Yisro, and the rest of it is after Matan Torah.
Okay, so explain what happened after Matan Torah, right? The Ramban.
Ramban, right?
There's a Kenyan man, not even
a right. We call another view, and they went. We call, but the vision, what he called, they had, and what he called, they were rejoicing, etc., etc., etc.
Matan Torah was already given,
right?
And
right.
This was in between the 6 days that Moshe was still hanging in the clouds.
But it was before, we call Moshe, at the end of that experience, then Moshe Rabbeinu went up to six, what he called 6 days into the cloud. And they had this vision, right? They had this vision. Right, the vision, and they rejoiced. Right. They brought Karbonos, and they
then
rejoiced.
Moshe went up.
And then Moshe Rabbeinu went up. Right? And really, the long and short of it is very simple. It's very simple. According to Ramban, since all of this transpired after Matan Torah, then their vision, right, the vision that they're seeing, etc., is a function of their receiving the Torah. It's through the vehicle of the Torah, everything they're experiencing. And their rejoicing is the rejoicing in having seen the Torah. And therefore, it was like they were called. They brought the korbanos. They were rejoicing in what he called in their receiving the Torah.
Makes sense,
right? According to Rashi, this is all preparatory beforehand. Hilu as given the taste, so you understand that everything that it experienced before Matan Torah, all the suffering that they experienced beforehand was necessary in order to bring them here. So on that, they would call there. The approach is mirachok, right, from a distance. You can't understand all the workings of Hashem. You have to be mamin, right? You can't understand all the workings of Hashem. You shouldn't look where you're not worthy to look. And certainly shouldn't treat it casually and eat while you and drink while you're experiencing it. That's why according to Rashi, they were worthy of death. But according to Ramban, right? This is all after. This is all rejoicing after having received the Aseres HaDibros.
But they haven't seen this vision yet.
Right. No, whatever they saw, what they saw was what he called was through their Kabbalah HaTorah.
They haven't gone up. They're still halfway up the mountain?
Yeah, et cetera. The idea being, in other words, the question is it before Matan Torah, from Hashem trying to explain His divine providence to them? And in which case, you have to realize you can't understand everything. Set limits, right? Because you can't understand everything. And according to Ramban, the whole experience over here is the experience of the glory of the Torah. Not talking about Hashem's divine providence, which enabled them to be Mekabel the Torah. Right? But rather the glory of the Torah they're experiencing now. And that's why they're rejoicing. That's why they're rejoicing.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking about two different scenarios. One is the preparation before Matan Torah, and we're talking about what is the after receiving the Torah. That's why the first one is Beira, and the second one is Be'ava, the Simcha. Right? So, even though they're explaining the Pesukim differently, but it's not like they've got two conceptual views on how to approach Judaism. Right? It's what he called it. The fact is, they're describing two different scenarios. The Rashi is describing the preparation, and that's what we call, that's what the Rabbinim, the last citation for Parshas B'Shalach, we learned in Parshas B'Shalach, that the way the entry into all of Avodas Hashem requires first to pass through the doorway of Yira. You don't pass through the doorway of Yira, you're nowhere. If you don't pass through the doorway of Yira, of humility, of what he called, of realizing the awesome presence before whom you stand, then you're living in a totally egocentric universe, right? And then what he called, the creator to you is just one more important thing, maybe, what he called, in a long list of important things, including the 75% blowout sale at Bloomies on Saturday night, okay? Right? It's all one part of, God forbid, all one continuum. When you step through the doorway of Yira, you realize, I'm in a different world now. Right, I'm in a God-centric universe, not an egocentric universe. Once you're already there, then the ultimate avoda is be'avel be'simcha, and that's what the Rikul Ramban is talking about, because he said all these figures are coming after Matan Torah. So even though we call it on a technical level, right?
According to who are you reading now?
The Ramban said it's all these pukim took place after Matan Torah. I'm not going to go into read the whole thing now.
He's saying though it was Vayira before and it was a Hava after.
Right, he's not addressing the year before. He's just saying these pukim over here are describing the Ava response with receiving the Torah, which is appropriate. Rashi said those pesukim there was an expectation of Yira because Rashi's understanding the pesukim are speaking before Matan Torah. And conceptually, I'm saying they're both obviously true. The hachana, the preparation, requires stepping through the doorway of Yira. After one steps through the doorway of Yira, one now can enter into the experiential world of Ahava. Of Ahava, of closeness, etc., etc., etc. So, bits of Shem. We should be zochet for both of them. Okay.